This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're continuing our holiday series, Songs from Hollywood and Broadway, by taking some liberties and hearing from composers of songs for kids TV. Schoolhouse Rock was a series of educational animated videos with clever songs designed to teach kids about grammar, math, and history. It was broadcast Saturday mornings on ABC from 1973 to 85. The song stuck in the minds of some popular rock musicians who grew up watching the series. They paid tribute with new versions of the songs on the 1997 CD Schoolhouse Rocks. What many of the people who grew up with Schoolhouse Rock don't realize is that the music director of the series was the jazz composer, pianist, and singer Bob Dureau. He wrote and sang many of the Schoolhouse Rock songs. In 1996, he told me how he got involved with Schoolhouse Rock.
Well, let's see, I had met advertising people who concocted the idea. And my partner, Ben Tucker, in fact, wanted us to write a little advertising music. He's a bass player, Ben Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
So one day, this gentleman from McCaffrey and McCall Ad Agency said, "We're looking for a guy to put the multiplication tables to music." And Ben Tucker said, "My partner, Bob Dureau, can do anything. He can put music to anything. Well, let's have him up." So I went up to meet the president of the agency, and it was his idea, and his name was David B. McCall of McCaffrey and McCall. He said, "My little boy can, you know, sing along with Jimi Hendrix and the Rolling Stones, but he can't memorize his multiplication tables." So I had the idea, why not put the multiplication tables to rock music and call it Multiplication Rock? What do you think? And I said, "Well, yeah, that's pretty interesting." And he said, "Well, but don't write down to the kids." Well, I learned later that he had invited other Broadway songwriters to do this task, and they came up with a more simple doggerel type of songwriting, writing down, as it were, to children.
So when he said, "So what do you think?" What did you really think?
I thought, well, yeah, this this could be, you know, a limited idea. But when he added, "Don't write down to children," the hackles on my neck arose, and I got quite intrigued. And so I agreed to tackle it, and I spent about 3 weeks before I would let myself write the first song. I thought first, looked in math books. And since I picked my first title, it was called Three is a Magic Number, I even looked in magic and occult books for the reasons that three might be a magic number.
Did you get anything from those books that you used in the song? What'd you get?
Mm-hmm. Well, that it was one of the magic numbers, and that it was, embodied in certain things like the Trinity, the old sayings, the heart and the brain and the body. Faith, hope, and charity. Trinities of sorts. So I got mainly that, trinities. And, of course, I also was an admirer of Buckminster Fuller, so I was thinking of his triangle concept that makes construction so strong.
Well, why don't we pause here and listen to your version, the original version of Three is a Magic Number. Now, did you sing on this one?
Yes.
Okay, why don't we hear it?
Three is a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number. Somewhere in the ancient mystic Trinity, you get three as a magic number. The past and the present and the future, faith and hope and charity, the heart and the brain and the body give you three as a magic number. It takes three legs to make a tripod or to make a table stand. It takes three wheels to make a vehicle called a tricycle. Every triangle has three corners. Every triangle has three sides. No more, no less. You don't have to guess. When it's three, you can see it's a magic number. A man and a woman had a little baby. Yes, they did. They had three in the family. That's a magic number. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30.
369. Now, when the advertising executives ask you to set the multiplication tables to music, did they already have, had they already known they could broadcast it on ABC TV?
No, they were thinking of a phonograph recording and a book. The idea of television wasn't remotely in their heads.
So how did it get on TV?
Well, after some time of testing the songs and having the product called Multiplication Rock, they didn't seem to be getting anywhere in the book publishing world, so one of the executives up at McCaffrey & McCall said, you know, one of our clients is ABC Television. I mean, we do their advertising. Why don't we present it to them? And so Mr. Tom Yoey animated it. They did it at their own expense. It's very expensive to animate a 3-minute song. And they presented it as an animation film to ABC, at which point suddenly we were in that business instead of the book business.
Now, what I'd like to do is play one of my favorites, and it's My Hero Zero.
Did you ever stop to think about zero? Zero is fantastic. Why, without the concept of zero, we'd never be able to multiply, divide, add, subtract, or even to count very high.
My hero, Zero, such a funny little hero, but till you came along, we counted on our fingers and toes. Now you're here to stay, and nobody really knows how wonderful you are. Why, we could never reach a star without you, Zero, my hero, how wonderful you are.
What's so wonderful about a zero? It's nothing, isn't it?
Sure, it represents nothing alone. But place a zero after one, and you've got yourself a ten.
See how important that is.
When you run out of digits, you can start all over again.
See how convenient that is.
That's why with only 10 digits, including zero, you can count as high as you could ever go.
Forever towards infinity. No one ever gets there, but you could try.
With 10 billion zeros.
Now, do you think most of the people who grew up listening to your songs, do you think that they have any idea that these weren't written and performed by people in advertising agencies or theme houses, that they were written by you, an interesting and eccentric jazz performer, and that the other songs, some of the other songs on here, are sung by interesting and eccentric jazz performers?
Yes, well, I'm sure they didn't even think about such things. They grew up and they learned and they watched. They were a captive audience, one of my partners pointed out, George Newell. Because, you know, they were watching Saturday morning cartoons, and suddenly there would be this little 3-minute film, and they got hooked on them, and it actually did them some good. And as we went on in our productions, I kept bringing in some of my buddies from the jazz world. So it was a kind of a, a little bit of a underground movement there.
Bob Dureau recorded in 1996. His latest CDs are Too Much Coffee and Who's On First, a live recording which also features Dave Frischberg.